You know, if I were to ask the question, can a man be saved by faith only? I think most in this audience would say no, and I believe you would be correct. In James, the second chapter, in verse 24, James said, you see that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. In verse 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. You cannot have saving faith if you do not have an obedience, works that accompany it. But I want to stop and think for a moment that do we sometimes, are we maybe a little too quick to get to the, you've got to have works, it can't be faith only, that we don't think enough about real faith, a real trust in God. And I just want to think tonight about Gideon. He is one of my favorite Old Testament characters. I'm turning to the book of Judges in the sixth chapter. And in Gideon, you see a man whose faith was accompanied by works. Just, he could have been used by James just as he used Abraham and he used Rahab. But I also think in him, you see that trust, that real, and you see it develop in him. And I think today, we need lessons like Gideon. Because in our day and age, there are people who are continually, even religious people, questioning the wisdom of God, the revelation of God when it comes to the family. You know, people view what the New Testament says about the family as somewhat antiquated. You know, we need to get it into the 21st century. What God says about divorce, what God would say about His church and the works it's involved in. A lot of times people are like, come on. You can't work that in the 21st century. I believe Gideon's a great story to learn about trusting God. The notes will be, you know, what's up here will be short. But I want you just to kind of think with me about the story. The background of this story, it takes place during the time of the judges. And what we have found, it didn't take long after the death of Joshua for the things that Moses had warned about in Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26. And I say Moses warned about. Those were the warnings of God. He began to say to them, if you will obey me, I will bless you. If you turn away, you begin to disobey me. He said, there will be famine. There will be enemies come against you. And these things are beginning to happen. In chapter 6, it is the Midianites that are the problem. Verse 1, then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. Because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made for themselves the dens, the caves, and the strongholds which are in the mountains. So it was, whenever Israel had sown, Midianites would come up. Also Amalekites, and the people of the east would come up against them. Then they would encamp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza and leave no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor donkey. For they would come up with their livestock and their tents, coming in as numerous as locusts. Both they and their camels were without number, and they would enter the land to destroy it. So Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Look at this sad picture. The Midianites, they'd back up and they'd let the Israelites think, oh, everything's going to be okay. They'd plant their crop and it would be about harvest time. And here'd come in this horde, Midianites and their allies, and they would just sweep through the land like locusts. And they'd leave them with no food. And the people, they're having to hide out in dens and caves in the mountains. They're going hungry. They're fearful. The Lord sent a prophet to them in verse 8 who said, thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, brought you out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all who oppressed you and drove them out before you and gave you their land. Also I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice. God makes it plain. There's a reason for this. This is not just some cyclical thing that happens in history where one nation rises up, another goes down. He said, there's a reason. But as they cry out to God, He decides to send them a deliverer, a man named Gideon. And when we see the story of Gideon open up, I want to tell you, there's not a whole lot that, first of all, just catches your eye about Gideon. When the angel tells Gideon that he's going to deliver Israel, his response in verse 15 is, Oh my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. He said, look, we don't have much of a family history of heroism, and I'm a nobody in my father's house. Well, in verse 25, we find his father's house had an altar to Baal in it. So he's from a family where idol worship took place. And in verse 11, where is our hero when we first meet him? He was threshing wheat in the wine press in order to hide it from the Midianites. Now, I'm not saying anything wrong with that. You do what you have to do. But when you first see Gideon, he's not going around saying, come on, folks, let's see if we can't rise up and overthrow these Midianites. Come on, grab your sword. No, he's just hoping to survive, hiding in the wine press. But what does God see in him? Look at verse 12. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Verse 14. Then the Lord turned to him and said, Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? God saw a mighty man of valor and said, Your first job is to go out and get rid of this altar that your father has. You know what he does? You know what he does. Verse 27. So Gideon took 10 men from among his servants and did as the Lord had said to him. But because he feared his father's household and the men of the city too much to do it by day, he did it by night. The man that God says is going to deliver Israel from the Midianites is given the job of destroying one altar in his hometown. He got 10 men and they slipped out at night and did it. Now, as the story continues, it gets better. The next time the Midianites came into the land, Gideon was ready. He blew a trumpet. He gathered an army with him. And it doesn't tell us in verse 35, but it's going to be an army of 32,000 people. But Gideon, you know, he's not quite ready to go to battle just yet. He wants to make sure of this. So Gideon said to God, If you will save Israel by my hand as you have said, look, I shall put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece only, and it is dry on all the ground, then I shall know that you will save Israel by my hand as you have said. And it was so. When he rose early the next morning and squeezed the fleece together, he wrung the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. Then Gideon said to God, Do not be angry with me. But let me speak just once more. Let me test, I pray, just once more with the fleece. Let it now be dry only on the fleece, but on all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night. It was dry on the fleece only, but there was dew on all the ground. Well, that was enough for Gideon. So he and his army are there. You know, he has in essence tested the Lord to say, Are you sure? I'm really your guy with this fleece. Now God says to Gideon in verse 2, The Lord said to Gideon, The people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hand. lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, my own hand has saved me. We later get the number of Midianites. It's not told to us here. There is an army of 135,000 that is ready for battle. That's the enemy. Gideon has 32,000. He's outnumbered 4-1. And God says, you have way too many. Tell the scared ones to go home. That's what he says in verse 3. Proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead. And 22,000 of the people returned, and 10,000 remained. Now what Gideon did was what the Lord had said to do back in Deuteronomy 20 verse 8. He had said when you go to battle, you ask, if anybody's scared, go home. Because you don't want the fearful ones to discourage the brave ones. But if you were outnumbered 4-1, wouldn't you be tempted to waive that requirement and say, well, you know, look, we will keep anybody. And then, when 22,000 leave, and you're one of the 10,000, and now you're outnumbered 13.5-1, are you thinking, maybe I should be one of the scared ones? But then amazingly enough, the Lord said to Gideon, verse 4, the people are still too many. Now keep in mind, they're outnumbered 13.5-1. The people are still too many. Bring them down to the water, and I will test them there for you. You know, he brings them down and he tells them, you depend on how they drink. Some would get down on their knees to drink. Some would lap with their hand. He ends up with 300 men. I believe the math works out to something like they're now outnumbered 450-1. Those are not real good odds to go into battle, are they? But this mighty man of valor, he doesn't go home. This man that had said, you know, my father's clan is the least in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house, he doesn't back down. But God, it's as if God said, I'm going to help you. Verse 13, he told Gideon in verse 10, if you're afraid to go down to the camp with Pura, your servant, and you shall hear what they say. He went down. He's like, okay, I can use a little boost. When Gideon had come, there was a man telling a dream to his companion. He said, I have had a dream. To my surprise, a loaf of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian. A loaf of bread. That's pretty insignificant. Barley was the cheap grain. An insignificant, cheap loaf of bread knocks the tent down. It collapses, verse 13. And his companion answered and said, this is nothing else but the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. Into his hand God has delivered Midian and the whole camp. And so it was when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation that he worshipped. He returned to the camp of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord has delivered the camp of Midian into your hand. And then the battle. I just love this story. The 135,000 are just spread out over this valley. You can just imagine what a sight that was. And Gideon divided his men up and they surrounded it. Now remember, 300. And they have a torch. And they keep it down inside a pitcher. And they've got a trumpet. And in the middle of the night watch, they break the pitcher. Torch would flare up. They sound this trumpet. And then they shout, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And just imagine this ringing out. Imagine these trumpets blowing and these voices. And the Midianites are in a panic. They get up. They're fighting each other. They flee. Other Israelites join in the battle. And they've won a victory. Not long before this, they're hiding out in caves. They're wondering how they're going to survive because the Midianites take all their food. And this one man, this man who started out hiding in a wine press himself, who started out saying, you know, I'm a nobody. This man whose first job he has to do under the cover of darkness, now with just 300 men with him, goes into battle and brings about a great deliverance. Now folks, that's faith, that's trust. And one of the first lessons I want to point out to you is good men are often reluctant heroes. Some of the great men of the Bible are men, you know, you didn't see them out, you know, trying to push themselves forward. Moses. Yes, Moses at age 40 said, you know, I'm the guy. You know, as he whips that Egyptian. And Acts 7 said he thought his people would recognize. No. At age 80, when Moses is saying, no, I can't speak well, I'm not the guy, that's when God was ready for him. That's when God was ready to use Moses. Jeremiah. Oh, I'm just a youth. I can't do this. Gideon. Oh, I'm from a nobody family, and I'm a nobody in a nobody family. God developed him. I believe that a lack of confidence in ourselves can sometimes be far more useful to God than the overconfidence like what we saw in Mark the 14th chapter. When Jesus tells the apostles, you will all be made to stumble because of me. Remember what Peter said, verse 29, even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not be. Jesus said to him, assuredly I say to you, that today, even this night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. But he spoke more vehemently, if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And they all said likewise. These men were confident they had what it took. And they failed. They were trusting in their own courage. And they failed. What God wants from us is to throw off self-confidence and have faith in Him. Confidence in Him. Put our trust in Him. Look at Romans the 8th chapter. Verse 37. We read this often. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him. It's not that we are great and mighty. In the first century, God turned the world upside down with some fishermen, tax collector, man that was described as a zealot. That is, you know, he was what we today would call a terrorist, a Jewish rabbi. Turn the world upside down. More than conquerors. Look at the 15th chapter of Romans. Paul speaks of what he's going to glory in, what he will boast about. Verse 17, therefore I have reason to glory in Christ Jesus in the things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me in word and deed to make the Gentiles obedient. In mighty signs and wonders, so by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about to Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. What he's saying here is, folks, I've spread the gospel everywhere, but he said, my boast is God did wonders and signs. God enabled me. In Philippians 4, you know, when Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can conquer, but it's because of Him. The faith that Gideon had, the faith I'm confident that God wants me to have, that He wants you to have, is not this, look deep down inside you and find your inner strength and, you know, believe in yourself. It is trust in Him. Trust in His plan. God can take people whom the world would view as nothing, who may themselves see themselves as nothing, if they will put their faith in Him. They can accomplish the task God set them to. But I want to caution you. Make certain it's the task God has set you to. When He calls that army to battle, before He goes out, He said, I want to make sure. He lays that fleece down twice. He wanted to know. Keep in mind, what's the statement that seems to sum up the book of Judges? In the 21st chapter, verse 25, in those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Gideon wanted to make sure he was walking the right way, that he was following God's direction. He wasn't going out on his own to do this. Understand that today, 2 Corinthians 11, there are still false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. Satan can appear like an angel of light. His ministers, verse 15, can appear like ministers of righteousness. 1 John 4:1, many false prophets have gone out into the world. What I want us to understand is Gideon was a man of faith in God. But so often people will talk about doing something by faith and because of faith that really doesn't go back to the Word of God. True faith comes by hearing the Word of God, Romans 10:17. But you will see sometimes somebody says, I know I've got this sickness or that, or my child is sick, but we're not going to go to a doctor. We're not going to accept this medical treatment because we've got faith in God. What in God's Word said, don't go to the doctor. Don't get help. Somebody will say, we have real faith. So reach in that box and pull out the rattlesnake, the cotton mouth. What in God's Word said that that's supposed to be a part of our worship? Mark 16, there was a promise given to the apostles that if they took up snakes, but there's nothing to indicate in the Bible that He was saying, go hunt a snake. We can read about descriptions of New Testament worship. They didn't do that. It's not faith when it's not God's direction. On a more close to home basis, all around us, churches have begun to offer recreation. They offer entertainment. They offer all kinds of crowd pleasers, what they think of as draws to bring people in. Well, how do you do that based on faith in God if God's not said anything about that? Sometimes it'll be a church. Sometimes it'll be an individual that will make what to some seems to be a foolhardy economic decision. We're just going to quit our jobs and we're going to move to such and such a place. And somebody said, well, how are you going to do it? Well, we're just going to trust in God. What in God's Word said, quit your job, move to Podunk, Iowa, because you think that that's what God wants you to do. Folks, first of all, when it comes to God's Word, understand this. Nobody changes it. Galatians 1 verse 8, even if we are an angel from heaven preaching any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Somebody says something in contradiction of this word, you don't believe it. And then just secondly, true faith in God, some venture we're going to launch out on in faith, there's got to be something in here that leads us. Gideon did what he did because he knew that's what God wanted. Over and over again, I quote 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 about the Scriptures being inspired, equipping us to every good work. This is our guide. This is our direction. What Gideon did seemed strange, but he had direction from God. And I'll say this. True faith will sometimes lead down an unusual path. You don't determine whether it's foolhardy or faith based on whether or not people think, well, that makes sense, that doesn't make sense. It comes back to this. You know, when you've got 32,000 to go against 135,000, common sense says you hunt more soldiers, not you send home two-thirds of your army. When you're outnumbered 135,000 to 10,000, common sense certainly doesn't say reduce it down even further. But God said to do it. It's much like when you're Israel and you're outside the city of Jericho, there's nothing in common sense that says, let's go out tomorrow and let's march around this city. And we'll go back to camp. And we'll do that for 6 days. On the seventh day, we'll march seven times. Now, there's nothing logical about that. But that's what God said to do. In 1 Peter, the fourth chapter, Peter makes the comment here, the observation, that in regard to these, he's talking about the morality that once had been their lifestyle. He said, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. You don't need to look for ways to appear strange to this world. Just follow God. Follow God's directions when it comes to holy living. And you dress differently. You talk differently. You choose different forms of entertainment. You won't go to certain places they'll go. You'll insist upon going to places they won't go. You know, you will have different family values. You will have a different view of divorce. You know, you'll have a different view of material things. You know, you'll be in the midst of people to whom life does consist of the abundance of the things they possess. But you'll be guided by Luke 12:15. You'll be different. There's no doubt about that. You take what God says about the plan of salvation. You've got to be baptized. You know, you take what it says about how a church is organized and worships, and people find that strange. And I just ask, do we trust God? As we see more and more people having a different attitude about marriage, about morality in general, about worship, and even among some of our own brethren, you know, questioning, maybe we've just been too hard on this instrumental music thing. Not really saying, here's a scripture. But just, you know, we've been a little too narrow. We have faith to trust the Word hasn't changed. God says nothing different. We're different. Are we willing to be different? The last thing I want to point out, it worked. I have tried to imagine. It wasn't just Gideon's faith. Those 300 men. As I said, if you're one of those 10,000, you know about how big that army is. I mean, you may not have counted an exact number. But you already knew, man, we don't have as many people as they do. And then you watch 22,000 of your brethren turn and go home. And you're thinking, God said for them to go home. Okay, you're one of 10,000. Okay. You know, 10,000, that's not too bad, is it? You're down to 300. And then Gideon says, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go out at night with a trumpet and a torch, and we're going to scare them to death. You know, I mean, it would have been, if you'd been one of Joshua's soldiers, and Joshua says, we're just going to, what we're going to do, we're going to walk around this city, And then we're going to blow trumpets and we're going to shout. And God's going to make the walls fall down. Nothing like that's ever happened before. But Gideon and those 300 men did just what God said. Joshua and his men. God's ways may seem strange. Because Isaiah 55, 8, 9 says it this way, God's thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways not our ways. In the book of Habakkuk, I love the conclusion of this book. When Habakkuk has questioned God, said, you know, why are you allowing the wickedness to go on? Why are you bringing in the Babylonians? And at the end, his statement is simply, I'll trust in you. Verse 17, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and He will make me walk on my high hills. He said, I'm not going to be down in the valley of despair. What Habakkuk was saying is it'll be okay. What God says is right. I don't care what we're talking about. You know, we can be talking about the work of the church. We can be talking about church discipline. We can be talking about His plan of salvation. We can be talking about His plan for the family. God's plan is the right plan. It may seem odd to the world around us. It may seem to us at times like, listen, I just don't think this is really the way to go. If it truly is God's plan, it's the right plan. It'll work. It will put to flight the armies of the aliens. What you have in Gideon is a man who, he didn't start out as a man of faith, or of great faith, but he brought about a great victory because he trusted God. And I want to encourage us all to look at Gideon. We might at this point be more like the first Gideon. You know, it's not that we're bad people, but we'd be down in the wine press, hiding. We'd say, okay, I'll do that, but I've got to wait till it gets really dark. You know, I'm afraid. God can grow our faith if that's what we want. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. God can make it stronger. I love the man when Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And he said, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. You know, that may be us. That we're saying, Lord, I believe. But I need help to believe even more. God can do that for us. If we'll just take Him at His Word, we'll do what He says. I don't know how many times I've heard and read somebody say, how in the world can baptism have anything to do with salvation? What can water have to do? It just comes, do you take Him at what He says? Do you believe when Jesus just made a simple statement, he who believes and is baptized will be saved? Why wouldn't you believe that? Why wouldn't you believe? Who would have thought an army of 300 could defeat an army of 135,000. Put your faith in God. If you've never come to Him, put in faith tonight. Why don't you come while we stand and sing together?